Spain's national soccer team is number one in the world and on the brink of winning the European Championship for the second consecutive time. The two teams at the top of La Liga, Barcelona and Real Madrid, are among the world's most successful and wealthy sports franchises. In a new book titled La Roja, Jimmy Burns describes the rise of Spain's team and the prominence of the brand of soccer Spain plays. Jimmy Burns joins me from NPR's New York Bureau. Welcome to Only a Game.
Hi, Bill. It's good to be with you.
In the introduction to La Roja, which means the red, you suggest that there are analogies between bullfighting and Spanish soccer. Tell us about those.
If you look at the evolution of Spanish soccer, I divided it into two periods of its history. For many, many years, and particularly during the Franco years, you had a very sort of physical, virile type of play, which obviously dovetailed with the sort of regime at the time, which was very militaristic and believed in martial values. What we've seen in much more recent years is a much more technical game, which one identifies particularly with FC Barcelona. The analogy with bullfighting is, in a sense, what I suggest is that the bull has turned into the bullfighter. what you see in La Roja at its best, I'm sure you will agree with me, is almost like a kind of choreographed ballet of sort of this intricate passing and players moving effortlessly, exchanging positions.
When you discuss the way politics has influenced and been influenced by soccer in Spain, you're talking about something extraordinary, especially during the years when Francisco Franco ruled the country. How did Franco use and attempt to use Real Madrid to his advantage?
Well, Real Madrid, of course, in the 1950s was undoubtedly the best club in the world. It won a succession of European Cup, as it was then called, victories, everything that came its way, Real Madrid could deal with. One has to sort of put this in a political context of Spain at the time. I mean, I know Spain is in crisis today, but Spain in those days was very much the outsider in Europe. It was a very poor country, politically ostracized by most of the democratic Western world. And suddenly Real Madrid becomes, you know, Franco's opportunity to show something that the Spaniards can do well at that time, which is play soccer. And you know, as I say in the book, you know, for almost a decade, the great export of Spain, alongside immigration and oranges, became Real Madrid.
Real Madrid's great rival was and is FC Barcelona. What did Barcelona come to represent for the people in Catalonia who opposed Franco?
Well, I would suggest the greatest rivalry in sport, which is Real Madrid and Barca, can only be explained by the way that the Catalans, who identified Catalan nationalism with Barca, felt themselves very repressed during the Franco years, having emerged on the defeated side in the Spanish Civil War. And it was really in the stadium that they could express themselves to a certain extent, although they couldn't wave their flags. They let off steam. And again, I suppose, you know, Franco was quite astute in that respect. Rather than have riots in the street, he let the Catalans let off steam in the stadium. You know, that he was a very kind of astute dictator, Franco.
In one especially lopsided game chronicled in your book, Real Madrid beat Barcelona 11-1. That was in 1943. A game that one-sided cannot have been especially compelling. But tell us about some of the subplots operating that day when the two teams met in Madrid a few years after the Spanish Civil War had ended.
Yeah, I must say I feel quite proud about the account of that because, it's, you know, as you know, what really brings alive a book is the primary sourcing. And I managed to get this veteran who was the massagist, or they didn't have physiotherapists in those days. And I came across this guy in Barcelona. By this time, he was in his late 80s. And poor man, he died 2 years after I interviewed him. I don't think it was because of the interview, but I mean, he was just on his way out anyway. Of course, the whole match was fixed from the beginning. But what I was told by this witness was how just before the match. I mean, it's a hugely intimidating atmosphere, obviously a huge crowd all baying for blood and on Real Madrid's side. The Barca team were visited by the head of Franco's security service and were told that most of them were on a hit list, i.e. as political dissidents, and they'd better watch how they played because otherwise they'd be in real trouble. I mean, you can't have more blatant threat than that.
Until he resigned at the end of the 2012 season, Pep Guardiola was the manager of FC Barcelona. He'd been terrifically successful there. You refer to him as one of soccer's great thinkers. What did you mean by that?
You look at him and he's got this sort of mystical air about him. I describe him like a figure from an old Greco painting showing that sort of saints going up into heaven. You know, sort of quite drawn, very intense eyes. And constantly thinking about the game. You know, he's made a team of players that think beyond simply winning. I mean, you know, let's not forget that half the Barca players are like little hobbits, you know. I mean, they're sort of 5'6", 5'7". And I refer to them as the hobbits in the magic land. And it's just the sort of self-belief and at the same time humility, which I admire in Barca, which of course contrasts with the great Real Madrid tradition, which much as they like to get rid of their sort of Francoist sort of tag, they do come across as very arrogant, and you can't have a more arrogant player than one Ronaldo. Contrast Messi with Ronaldo, and there you have the Guardiola philosophy personified. I mean, this guy, Messi, who a lot of people would argue is probably the greatest player in the world, probably as good, if not better, than Maradona was, and he is the most self-effacing, humble person you could possibly imagine. I mean, the way he plays, not just for himself, but for the team, which I think is hugely inspirational to young people learning the sport.
Jimmy, I do have a couple more questions, but before we go on, I have to say, if you ever come to Boston, I will take you to dinner and you can eat anything you want.
Well, Boston's one of my favorite cities, and don't make me that offer twice. I mean, I will be there, mate, having lobster with you.
I'm speaking with Jimmy Burns, the author of La Roja, and you're listening to Only a Game. For years, really until 2008, when Spain won the European Championship, the national team was known for failing to live up to its potential. Given the quality of the players who made up those teams, why wasn't Spain more successful?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It became the great underachiever. They didn't win anything from the European Nations Cup in 1964 when they beat the Soviet Union, as you say, until 2008. Why? I suggest various reasons. Part of it is the political background, and that translated into rivalries at club level, which went way beyond simply sporting rivalries to political rivalries, which did not contribute to a kind of sense of national identity within the squad. There was also a lot of political interference by the Franco regime during the Franco years. But above all, I would probably suggest a lack of a style that could bring these talented players at club level together. What we see in La Roja for the first time is this definition of a style, and which is successful, which is the tiki-taka, it's the quick passing, it's the poetry in motion, which I like to call it. Del Bosque, the coach, has been extremely skillful in bringing Real Madrid players and Barca players, who are normally at each other's throats at club level, to become good friends at national level.
If Spain beats Italy in Sunday's game, they will be the first team to win three major titles consecutively, a European Championship, a World Cup, and then another European Championship. Do you like Spain's chances, or does Italy prevail?
I think if you judge it by the tournament so far, undoubtedly what you've seen is Italy growing as a team, and Spain never quite getting off the marker. They seem to have lost a bit of their edge, and I would suggest a bit of their motivation. Obviously, if I was Del Bosque, I would simply say to them, look, you are the champions. Play like them. go in and win this, and win it with your style. Don't compromise. You can do it.
Jimmy Burns is the author of La Roja, How Soccer Conquered Spain and How Spanish Soccer Conquered the World. The book is published by Nation Books, and the author joined me from NPR's New York Bureau. Jimmy Burns, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Billy, and I'll take you up on the lobster and an excellent bottle of wine in Boston when I'm next there.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Oliver Wyman, a global management consulting firm with 3,000 professionals serving global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com. And Trader Joe's, traveling the world to source a variety of foods and beverages like pizza from Italy and cheddar from Australia. Locations at TraderJoe's.com. This is NPR.